Coming. I'm Ramin Asghari, primary care physician working in New York City and a teaching faculty at Mount Sinai School of Medicine. The data that I'm going to present is actually from my work in South Bronx and the Refugee and Immigrant Health Clinic for the last 4 years. So what we did basically looked at recent immigrants and their health characteristics. So I'm going to share those with you. In general, one of the issues that we have as a primary care physician is that we don't really know. We don't have enough data in order what to screen. And do we have to do any kind of a screening in lab form, a question, clinical question, or physical exam? And most of the data really comes from a bunch of studies done by CDC and people at Brown University. And they basically had a targeted group of population. For example, CDC is from Somalian refugees, so they are not necessarily representative, nor my data, but I'm just going to share my data. We work with a lot of grassroots and community organizations. So this is a referral system for our clinic, and we have health promoters. Yes, in the South Bronx, we have health promoters, and we send them to the community, and they go and they bring these folks less than 5 years to our clinic. Well, everybody can come to the clinic, obviously, but this, we looked at the data from those. So it's basically, we looked at, retrospectively, we looked at charts and the labs data and the question that asked. In terms of their social characteristic, pretty young group of folks. The mean is 22. Majority, they are from Central America and West Africa, and 50% were men. No gender bias here. And the mean number of years in the U.S. was actually 2 years, so they're pretty young in the U.S. 22% of them only could speak English. Spanish, no English. We had 12% speaking French from West Africa, obviously, and 7% Arabic. And 64% of the population that we had didn't have any kind of insurance, and 26% were unemployed, never actually had a job. The rest had some kind of, not so-called legal job, but they were doing something, street vendors and those kind of things. In terms of medical history, 26% of this population, they had blood pressure on exam. Remember, the mean age is 22 years old, right? But only 6% had a history of hypertension, so they didn't actually know that they had hypertension. This was the first time they actually seen a doctor. And 5% were current smokers, thank you. And much better than the U.S. population, obviously. And 2 had a history of malaria, 1 typhoid, and 1 had a history of tuberculosis, known by themselves. And we also had 6% of the population had some kind of human rights abuses. And it's always overlooked by us. And this is more among refugees, obviously. And 5% had clinical depression. In terms of lab data, 46% of the population that we looked at their lab data had been exposed to hepatitis B. That basically means their core antibody was positive. And 32% of them had HBs antibody positive, basically. So they developed immunity from, none of them actually had vaccination. So they got the disease, 32% got immunity, 46% were exposed, but as you may know, sometimes if it's like, if they had the disease when they were 2 years old or 3 years old, and now we do the, HBs antibody when they are 45 or 25, there is not enough level of antibodies. If you expose them to the vaccine, that they show up. And one of them had HBs surface antigen positive, so basically someone that can transmit the disease to others. So there's a lot of question that eosinophilia and parasite and intestinal issues, you talk to the doctors and that's what they really are excited about, this parasite that I have never seen, so I'm going to treat it. It's true because it's easily treatable. And let me just add here, some actually argued that maybe we should empirically treat people with albendazole, either single dose or 5 day of albendazole. And the data is actually good data from New York City Department of Health. So Peter Munich did it at Columbia University. but obviously it was a cost-effective analysis anyway. But so they didn't actually look at the side effect of medication or missing a bunch of others. And aside from that, doing really a screening, 15% of this population had eosinophilia, and that we define it not just the normal is above 6%, above 10%. So this is above 10%, meaningful to some degree. 14% of them had any form of ova and parasite in their stool. So we had 80, around 16 of them. And it was interesting to know that there was not really so much correlation between the people who had eosinophilia and the stool was detected. Now, you have to understand that the sensitivity of a stool exam also is not 100%. So 7% had abnormal liver tests, and 14% of them were exposed to the tuberculosis, and that's that by doing the PPD, so they had a PPD positive for their immigration status as immigrants. And 3% of them had actually abnormal chest X-ray finding consistent with all TB. And only one patient had HIV positive. Not everybody actually got the HIV test, because out of this 80, only 50% of them that actually got HIV, they refused. They didn't want to have it. So that's why I used one person, not the person. So we think, I mean, it's important to really look at a chronic viral disease, and it probably seems, this is a very high number, even if we have some kind of a selection, you know, it's a different population. Again, it's not necessarily representative. And from New York City, South Bronx, but it seems that the rate is pretty high. So it's reasonable to really look at that. Now we actually have the recommendation by CDC, we have to vaccinate almost everyone. So we can go ahead and vaccinate them without actually doing the test. But you want to know that one person who's a carrier and who can actually transmit the disease, you want to pick that one in order to control the transmission. The relationship between eosinophilia and parasitic infection, we couldn't really make that relationship here. So again, but we have, you know, we have the sensitivity of the test is going to be maximum of 70 to 75%. It's actually good if you can do it in the office, and the fresh sample of a stool is pretty easy to do. And if we can get, you know, doctors remember when they were in medical school, it was easy to do it in the lab, and they can actually do it. We used to do it. It was important to know that they had a very high rate of undiagnosed hypertension as a chronic diseases, and we think probably screening again, it's a good idea for viral disease as well as for we had 14% of ova and parasoid positive, so we think stool exam is high in the list. You have to really do it. It's a good number. And the fact that they had a lot of lack of insurance and social issues, and obviously you have to really address the immigrant health within the, you know, multidisciplinary approach, and to address the social issues. That's it. Thank you. So, anyone has questions? No question? Yes. Question of two. Yes. Well, so this is a residency program. Let me just give you some background idea. The residency program is social medicine primary care. So all of the residents, they get psychosocial training, and they, you know, they do family intervention and how to screen for depression. And as a part of a normal visit, as a resident in the social medicine program, they have to do it. So they were actively actually asking all of the social issues, looking for depression, looking for history of abuse. So if you look at the data, for example, being tortured in the past, Alan Keller did it in NYU a couple of years ago, and they showed up in an ambulatory care setting in Bellevue, right in the middle of New York City, and they found out 7% of the people who were sitting, waiting to be seen, they have been abused and had some form of human rights abuses. And this is not all foreign-born, obviously. And when they actually went and looked at the file and chart, it was zero, ask the question, zero documentation. So the fact that we found it here is that our resident actually asked for it, and the same for depression and the same for PTSD. So yes, they asked here. answer the 5%, it's not really very high number, indeed. Anyone has questions for anybody else? I'm just going to moderate.
Thank you.
Thank you. You should see my desk. I've got, you know, it's